do these preach these messages, I don't get that often time to preach on Sunday mornings. So I just make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And he gave me this message to do. And after I started going through it and writing it, I'm thinking, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? And it didn't change. So here we are. So I know it's going to be a lot to hear and absorb. I'm basically covering Ephesians 1. The scripture that I'm going to read today is Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 3. The book of Ephesians, if you haven't read it, is a very powerful book. And I taught Ephesians last year in a Zoom Bible study. The first half of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church all that Christ did for them. And then the last half of the book, he really goes into detail of how we live this out in our lives. And I really highly recommend that you read and study the book. It's only 6 chapters. It takes about 15 minutes to read, but it takes a lifetime to study. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father with the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So what are spiritual blessings? Paul tells us, church at Ephesus, that they have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Paul is not talking about physical blessing, material blessings. He's talking about blessings that come from God, that the blessings from the work of God in the lives of believers. God is the source. He is the giver, the provider of what we need to receive and to keep. Paul wants the church of Ephesus, the saints, the faithful, to fully grasp the depth of what God has done for those who love him. Psalm 103:3 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David is trying to remind us that we are not to forget all the things that God has given us. I think that is what Paul is trying to do as well in the book of Ephesians. But we also need to remember, no matter what we are going through, and these days it could be a lot of things, that we are truly blessed. Amen? Paul mentions in Christ, or the equivalent, 27 times in the book of Ephesians. So what does in Christ mean? It means that you have given your life to Christ. You have made him your Lord and Savior. And you have an ongoing relationship with him. An ongoing intimate relationship is so important to understand. Actually, I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and finish this with in Christ, and I'll go on to heavenly places. So it means that you have given your life to Christ. You have made him your Lord and your Savior, and you have an ongoing relationship with him. An ongoing intimate relationship is so important to understand and receive fully the spiritual blessings that Paul is referring to. And let me go back to talk about the heavenly places. Paul goes on to say that these spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places. So what is he referring to when he says heavenly places? Or in some translation, it says realms. Does it mean that we have to get to those blessings when we go to heaven? Not necessarily. These blessings are for us now as well. When you read through the book of Ephesians, Paul mentions heavenly places 5 different times. The first 4 talks about God in the heavenly places. And the last one that Paul mentions is in Ephesians 6:12, which says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Heavenly places is translated from the Greek word aporios, meaning the sphere of spiritual activities. I did want to mention this because if you didn't know, we are in a spiritual battle. The evil one does not want us to have these spiritual blessings. He is trying to do what? To separate us from God, to keep us from knowing the one true God. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. About 4 years ago, God put on my heart to teach on spiritual warfare. I taught a Sunday school class. I taught a class on Wednesday night. And I also did a Zoom class in 2020 on spiritual warfare. It was a really good study. I know other classes did the same study. It was by Chip Ingram, it was called The Invisible War. If you would like more scriptures about spiritual warfare, I wrote an article this week in the newsletter, and it gives quite a bit of scriptures about spiritual warfare. So I want to go to, I know, I'm sorry up there, I kind of messed up, so I'm going back and forth, hoping you can keep up with me. He may have just lost it. So I want to talk about John 17, 1 through 3. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him." Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. When you give your life to Christ, you enter in the eternal life, really, with God here on earth, as you get to know him. So let's go to verses 3 through 14, which is Paul's list of spiritual blessings. In the Greek, this verses 3 through 14 is one very long sentence. I hope he took more than one breath to read it. So let's read, this is from the NLV version. "Let us honor God and thank the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has already given us a taste of what heaven is like. Even before the world he was made, God chose us for himself because of his love. He planned that we should be holy and without blame as he sees us. God already planned to have us as his own children. This was done by Jesus Christ in his plan. God wanted this done. We thank God for his loving favor to us. He gave this loving favor to us through his much-loved Son. Because of the blood of Christ, we are bought and made free from the punishment of sin. And because of his blood, our sins are forgiven. His loving favor is so rich. He was so willing to give all of this to us, this wisdom and understanding. God told us the secret of what he wanted to do. It is this: in loving thought, he planned long ago to send Christ into the world. The plan was for Christ to gather us all together at the right time. If we are in heaven and still on earth, he will bring us together and will be here, head over all. We were already chosen to be God's own children by Christ. This was done just like the plan he had. We who were the first to put our trust in Christ should thank him for his greatness. The truth is the good news. When you heard the truth, you put your trust in Christ. then God marked you for by giving you the Holy Spirit as a promise. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a promise that we will receive everything God has for us. God's Spirit will be with us until God finishes his work of making us complete. God does this to show his shining greatness. Now those are verses 3 through 14. Aren't those beautiful blessings? How many blessings did you catch there? All of them? Some of them? I guess it depends on how you look at them. And this version was a little different than what I'm going to go through is each one of them. And I'm going to briefly talk about seven of them. The first one I'm going to talk about is we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Verse 4 says that even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. This is a beautiful blessing, isn't it? Just think about it. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen. That is amazing, isn't it? For a lot of people, though, they want to debate this as predestination. In fact, some other blessings that we will see a little bit talk about us being predestined as well. I have studied in depth predestination before. In fact, in seminary, I wrote a paper on this subject. I remember getting an A in the paper, but the professor said, I wish you would have talked a little bit about more of what you thought of it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I wish I knew more about it as well. There are several schools of thoughts on the subject. One is that God predetermined who would be saved and who wasn't to be saved. Others say that he foreknew those who would come to him, so those are the ones that are predestined. And the others, this is not really out there too much, but that the predestined one was the church, ones that the body, the corporate body of Christ was predestined, predetermined. But don't want to get caught up in that, okay? Yes, God is sovereign, right? Amen? He is all-knowing, all-powerful, but he also gives us free will. So I'm under the Roman law, I keep pushing two pages instead of one page. Must be more nervous than I thought. So I'm going to read some scriptures that will kind of show this kind of tension that is both sides. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." So we have to knock, right? Proverbs 16:19, the heart of a man's plan, heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. Psalm 139:15-16, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in my womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And last one, Romans 8:29, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So as you can see in these scriptures, and there are many, many more, that it can become very confusing, right? God is God, and we are not, right? And we cannot understand or fully grasp the vastness of God, who he is and his great power. One of the scriptures I like to use, and I use it quite a bit sometimes, is Proverbs 3:5. Are you all familiar with it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Some things we just need to trust God and not try to just figure it out. Number two, we were adopted into his family as a child of God. Verse 5 says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. This is God's destiny for us, his chosen, that they would enjoy adoption as his children. God's plan for us not only includes salvation and transformation, but also a close relationship with him. Under Roman law, the adopted son enjoys the same privilege and status as a real son. We are co-heirs with Christ by adoption. Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Number three, he has blessed us with his glorious grace. Verse 6 says, we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. We should praise God for the grace that he has given us who are in Christ. For me, the grace of God is so important in his spiritual blessings that he has given us. Grace is what? Unmerited favor. Something that God gives us not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants a close, intimate relationship with him. How is your relationship with God? Probably like most of us, including me, not as well as we should be. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says that God's grace is sufficient for us. God shows grace in giving us life and providing for us, in strengthening us for the path ahead. Grace is sufficient for us. Number four, we have redemption and forgiveness through his blood. Verses 7 and 8 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. Christ paid for our sins on the cross. In Christ we have redemption through his blood. We have been forgiven for all of our sins. The sacrifice shows the magnitude of the riches of his grace to save us and to adopt us as his own. Not only that, but he blessed us with wisdom to see things as they really are, and also gave us insight, allowing us to discern what is right and what is wrong. He has made known to us, this is number five, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Verse 9 and 10 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, when he proposed in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Part of what belongs to us under the riches of his grace is the knowledge of the mystery of his will, God's great plan and purpose, which was once hidden but is now revealed to us in Christ. John 1:1-5 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God has blessed us by giving us insight through his word to do all things for the glory of God. The word reveals God's will for us, his character, his blessings, his promises, and his divine plan for mankind and for his church. This is why reading and studying the Bible regularly is so, so important for us. Number 6, we have an inheritance with Christ. We're in Christ. Verses 11 and 12. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. So what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is in heaven, in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4 says, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Revelation 12:4 says this. It gives us a brief but a beautiful description of our inheritance. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And John 14:3 says that he has prepared a place for us in heaven. In the last couple of months, I've been a part of 2 funerals, and we'll be a part of another one this coming Friday, which is Brian Shields. If you didn't know Brian or knew Brian, we're having a service on Friday at 3:30 here. But these are celebrations of life. We celebrate the life that they've lived, but we also celebrate their new life, their life with Christ, a life that we just really can't imagine. But with their life now with Christ. Number 7, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Verses 13 and 14 says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is another amazing gift. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. We cannot do this on our own strength or our own ability. The Holy Spirit is given to believers as kind of the first installment to ensure us that full inheritance as God's children. The Holy Spirit is given to us to confirm that we belong to God, who grants us his Spirit as a gift, just as grace and faith are gifts for our salvation. Through the gift of the Spirit, God renews and sanctifies us. He produces our hearts through feelings, hopes, passions, and desires, which are evidence that we are accepted by him, that we are regarded as his adopted child, that our hope is genuine, and that our redemption and salvation are sure in the same way that a seal guarantees a will or an agreement. God grants to us his Holy Spirit as the certain pledge that we are his forever. So there are just some of the spiritual blessings that God has given us. When you read through the Bible, you can see more of them. I know I covered a lot this morning. Stumbled through some of it. Sorry about that. Because of time, I wasn't able to really dig in deep. But I hope you take some time and go through Ephesians and just read through it and study it and get some own conclusions for yourself with the blessings of God. And I would like to end today by praying the prayer that Paul did for the church of Ephesus at the end of chapter 1. I pray, Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will impart in us the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, so that we will know you through our deepening intimacy with you. I pray, Lord, that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of our imagination, flooding us with light until we experience the full revelation of the hope of your calling for us. That is the wealth of God, your glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that we will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of your power, Lord, made available to us through faith. Then our lives will be a testimony of this immense power as it works through us. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. It is in this beautiful name of Christ I pray.